I spoke with Dr. David Romano, the Thomas G. Strong Professor of Middle East Politics at Missouri State University and author of The Kurdish Nationalist Movement. He began by giving me some background into the Yazidi religion and ethnic group. That's one minority that's been brutally targeted by ISIS.
The Yazidis, their religion predates Islam and Christianity. It has a complex set of semi-secret beliefs that was for their own protection. They believe in reincarnation, transmigration of souls. So the Yazidis also only marry amongst themselves, and it's forbidden for them to marry outside their group or to convert others. And there's only around 400,000 in Iraq and maybe 100,000 outside of Iraq total. 200,000 of those approximately lived in the town of Sinjar, which ISIS overran last week. We're talking about a very real, immediate threat that an entire ethno-national religious group is wiped off the face of the earth. And we've already seen what happened to the Christians in Mosul. They've been there about 1,800 years, since long before Iraq existed, since long before Islam came onto the scene, and there's none left in Mosul.
Now, Americans are very leery of any military intervention, primarily because of the recent invasion into Iraq, which turned out to be very unpopular. But do you think that Americans have let the pendulum swing too far to the other direction and are now just turning a blind eye to a catastrophe that they should be taking a harder look at?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I mean, the Kurds in Iraq aren't asking for us to send boots on the ground again. There seems to be this false notion that it's either don't do anything or the very, very limited airstrikes and supplies that the Obama administration announced it was sending on Friday, or send troops. That's not at all the only options. We can do a much more extensive airstrike campaign against any ISIS target throughout Iraq. The Maliki government in Baghdad actually asked for that in May, and we refused them. The Kurds are asking for that. We're not doing it. We can send much better supplies, and then they can fight this fight themselves. We sent supplies to the Iraqi army, which doesn't have the willingness to fight. The Kurds have the willingness to fight, but we haven't sent them supplies. Like, I mean, we can do this smart. It doesn't require sending troops back.
Are world groups like the United Nations and NATO doing anything to stop ISIS's advances?
Well, the United Nations doesn't do anything unless its key member states do something. Now, France, long before we did, demanded a Security Council meeting on the threat. France, Italy, and Great Britain have offered assistance this past week. France and Italy said it would be military assistance, which is kind of ironic. One would think that the United States has the greatest onus of responsibility for what's happening in Iraq right now, given our history. Yet other countries are coming up to offer the hard-pressed Kurds, who are trying to protect these minorities, by the way, from genocide. They're offering them the weapons before we are.
Is ISIS comparable to any other international villain that you've seen in recent history?
You know, I haven't seen one as brutal and as big, as significant. Of course, there have been psychopaths since the history of talking about psychopaths, but this is a regular army on the ground now, controlling territory about the size of Great Britain, that's videotaping and documenting its own sick violence towards unarmed civilians, beheadings, shootings of children. It's all there on video, random drive-by shootings of cars where you see a whole family in the minivan. ISIS comes along in a car and opens up with an AK-47 on them. Rapes, jihadi, forced captured brides. It seems like there's no limit.
Now, I should mention that you also write a column for the Kurdish newspaper. Is it pronounced Rudaw?
Rudaw.
Rudaw. And in your latest column, you write that this catastrophe is a rare confluence of moral and strategic imperatives for the United States. I want you to tell me, if you can, a little more about the strategic reasons why you feel the United States must do more to stop ISIS.
Absolutely. Now, Al-Qaeda has been a mortal enemy of the United States for a long time. And the Obama administration seems to still have the perspective that that's the threat to the U.S. But it's been some time now since the radical Islamist flag has been passed, really, to ISIS. And these guys are much, much more dangerous than Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda was always more of an idea, kind of a jihadi franchise. But the Islamic State is a regular army now, practically, with a territory, with organization, with way more people, and with a brand name that's going through wildfire through Syria, Iraq, inroads into Lebanon, Jordan, Gaza, and it's serious. And they said months ago that we were their targets. These terrorists are also much more brutal and engaged in genocide, which Al-Qaeda was not doing. Attacking them is in the core American interest.
And up until this point, the United States has made sure that any military support for the Kurdish people, so in the north of Iraq, goes through Baghdad's central government. And you feel that that needs to change immediately. Can you tell us why?
That needed to change several months ago. Baghdad never shared the weapons it was supposed to share with the Kurdistan Regional Guard. They need heavier weaponry to deal with an ISIS that's armed with all the American weaponry that was given to the Iraqi army, which they captured in June. These Peshmerga, who are solid American allies, incidentally, there's no risk of these weapons falling into the hands of our enemies, and they've proven themselves willing and able to fight ISIS. They need immediately, they need yesterday, things they can immediately integrate into their armed forces.
Now, you write in your column that ISIS makes Al-Qaeda look like a bunch of Boy Scouts. Why is it, do you think, that ISIS has been able to strike such a chord with people when it comes to recruiting and when it comes to funding, in spite of their gruesome tactics?
Well, for some recruits, the true believers, the radicals, the more gruesome the better. And just to give you a sense of how extreme they are, the Taliban has recently said to ISIS that they need to tone it down, that this is too much. But the bigger question is, how did they go from their true believer small core of recruits into expanding through much of Syria and Iraq? And the answer there is there haven't been better alternatives for the Sunni Arab population that's been repressed by its central government. And the Iraqi case is important. After we withdrew from Iraq in December 2011, the Obama administration continued business as usual with the Maliki government, no matter what it did to the Sunnis. The Maliki government in Baghdad took the Sons of Iraq program that General Petraeus started, and then when we handed this over to Maliki, he turned around, stopped paying them, started attacking them, started arresting their leaders, and we didn't do anything in any real sense of the term. We voiced concern, and we continued doing business with him as usual. The result is not too hard to predict. The Sunni Arab population turned to anywhere they could in order to fight back against a Maliki government that was pushing them out and repressing them.
Dr. Romano, thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.